Hello, book friends. Have you heard about our hashtag May Light Books Challenge? We thought that between reading Island of Sea Women last month for our events and tackling Jane Eyre this summer, it would be fun during this busy month of May to just pick up something light, refreshing, and fun. So here's the challenge. Pick up something light and breezy that can be totally defined by you. If Anthony Trollope is light to you, pick up Anthony Trollope. If it's a fun rom-com or mystery, pick that up and make a post about it on Facebook or Instagram and hashtag it, hashtag May Light Books Challenge. You will be entered in a drawing to win a prize, which is Karen Swallow Pryor's edition of Jane Eyre. We will ship it directly to your house. Karen Swallow Pryor is a Christian scholar who has recently put out an edition of Jane Eyre. It's beautiful hardcover, kind of a vintage looking soft hardcover with questions for reading and reflecting in the back. So if you would like to spend your summer with that beautiful Jane Eyre hardcover, pick up a light book and hashtag it May Light Books Challenge. Enter to win. Welcome to Book Fair. We help thoughtful women find wholesome, life-affirming books for themselves and their families.
Are you tired of picking up the latest new release and finding it full of junk you don't want in your life? You are in the right place.
This show shares curated content and we do it together within a fun, book-loving community. So pull up a chair at the table and join the feast. Welcome to our storybook episode. We have a different day today because Trisha is taking her turn to sit one out. She is sick today. And she said, you know what? Storybooks have been a minute for my family anyway. Why don't you girls take it without me? And Amanda and I are sad to not have her, but we're also like, oh, does that mean we can bring up more books? What did you say, Amanda? You were having a fit? No,
I'm having a mental breakdown.
A mental breakdown.
Because how do I choose picture books to a compact short list? This is so hard.
It is so hard because I am looking at the ones that I chose to keep forever. I have probably 75 here. Now, that's not to say every great book we've ever read. So here's how I want to do this, Amanda. We're having a different powwow today, just you and I. I thought it would be fun if we tell a story. Because some of our moms listening who have babies, what they don't know yet is that when you look on your shelf, or some random trip to the library, you're going to think, we're going to read this book once, but you don't know you're going to read this book 6,000 times. You don't know how special it might become to your family or how annoyed you might be with the book. So we're going to share a few stories of books becoming important to our family, becoming on repeat to our family, so you can take this as a cautionary tale to have good books in your home, even if they're temporary in the home from the library or if they're ones that you choose. So do you get where I'm going with this, Amanda?
Yes, I'm right with you. And I'm going to say our C.S. Lewis quote, it is worth bringing up. No book is really worth reading at the age of 10, which is not equally and often far more worth reading at the age of 50 and beyond.
And I think we have said that so many times, but I want to camp out on that thought for a minute. If you have a book in your home that you just think, I cannot read that book one more time, it might not should have ever been in your home. What is this book? What's the plan here? What is your kid like about it? You might confine that in something else. You need to have books that you're going to enjoy together. And if you're just not loving it, you can say, you know what? That book is lost right now. And you can say to your spouse, please lose this book for me so that I can say this book is lost. I lost a Disney compilation of stories, a Disney storybook. And they were storybooks that I wanted to read the fairy tales with Trenton. And I handed them to my mother and said, can you please lose this book so it can be lost? And it is still lost to this day.
You know, just as batteries out of loud, annoying
sometimes
toys
get lost.
Go missing.
Sometimes yes, they do.
Books need to go away.
But then there are other books in our family that Nate has looked up at Charlie and said, I think we need to take a break from this book for a while because we loved it so much. And Nate loved it too. But then, so reading together does need to be, are we all enjoying this book? I think. Pete McKee, who maybe people know and maybe they don't, was a preacher that was one of my granddad's, one of his very closest friends. And he lived in Birmingham and he came to preach for my home church in Louisiana for a week. And he stayed with my family because my dad knew him because it was his dad's friend. And we had, as we always did, a giant stack from the library that we got, and we had it for 2 weeks, and we took the giant stack back, and we got another giant stack. But this book, Big Bad Bruce, have you ever heard of it?
No, it looks cute.
No one's heard of this book, okay? That's why I have to bring it up. Because there's some, everybody knows Chicka Chicka Boom Boom, and everybody knows, you know, all these others. So that's why I'm bringing this one up. We sat in this man's lap, my brother and I, and we read Big Bad Bruce, and he was a great storyteller. He had booming voice, and we laughed, and he made a little ding sound so that we would turn the pages for him because he had seen some toy that we had that would read to you and turn pages. And so when I had Trenton, I had to go search down this book so that I could read it to him. And I wrote the story of this visiting preacher in the cover of this book. Like, it takes up both pages for me to write this story because this story was important in my childhood because it was around a memory. And that memory is hospitality. It's my granddad's friend. So that was a picture of my granddad that I didn't know. Now, the book is about a bully. So that's important to kids today. And it's about a witch that settles and humbles the bully. Or does she? So it's really cute. Can you really ever fix the bully? Or did they just become a bully to a new group of people? It is a great, great book. If you've never heard of it, get it. Imagine me and my brother sitting on this big man's lap and him just reading the story and then us immediately saying, okay, read it again.
That is such a sweet memory. And I love that you have things like hospitality associated with that. That is so lovely.
So that's the tone I'm hoping. And we all have that. We all have books that just became part of our family. And I think my argument here is let's let them be good books because they might be there forever and you didn't know. My mom did not know that when she picked 27 books from the shelf at the library really quick because we have to have something for the kids to do, that this one was going to live in our family forever. And Next Generation is living in my family. I've read it to both of my boys so many times. It's so funny. We actually now look out the window in Florida. We have great blue herons, but there's also a regular blue heron, which is a tiny bird. And we joke and say that that is Bruce at the end of the book, where he's still a bully, but he's a tiny bully. Go read this book to your children.
Bill Pete wrote Cappy Boppy.
I don't know that book at all.
We love it. And I have it here somewhere. Y'all, my floor and table behind me in this room.
Amanda gathered every storybook from our house because she could not choose. I do feel like you need to lean aside and let me take a picture of what you've got going on there. Do you? There's just like so many books. Okay, I got it. I'm going to post it with this.
Okay, and that's not including what's on the floor.
Okay, well, give me a beloved book.
Okay, well, and I wanted to say, I love hearing about, this is one reason why we love picture books, the memories associated with it. And I thought I'd say a couple other things I thought about of why I love picture books. I love the illustrations. I love it when they're beautiful. Yeah. And when they work together with the story to move the story along or to give more information, kind of like the score to a movie. And thinking it, and they're so accessible. I heard Sarah McKenzie talking about this, and it is so true. When you don't have the time or you don't feel like you can make a commitment to a big read aloud, picture books are just so accessible. And the text that a picture book author has to work with is so limited. Not necessarily the vocabulary so much as the space. Mm-hmm. And so every word counts. And they have to be very masterful in their use of language. And Andrew Poudois talks about using sophisticated language and language patterns. And like poetry, picture books pack a lot in a few words. And a lot of times picture books are poetry. A lot of my memories around reading picture books with my kids are when I would just grab one, because I was very sick when they were little and very tired a lot, very foggy. I had Lyme disease and was pretty sick with that. So it was so easy to just grab a picture book and read that with them because it wasn't a big commitment. And a lot of times they could help me read it too when I was just so tired. And just the cuddles and the sweetness, even through that situation, is just such a treasure. And there were so many times, and even still to this day, because I still just have a 9-year-old, but especially with littles, when someone's upset and crying and something's wrong, I would just grab them and put them in my lap and we would just start reading.
100%. I put that in every baby shower card. Aww. There are going to be days when you just cannot parent this child, whether it's because you're exhausted or they are BAD at the moment or whatever, or you have some other adult problem going on in your life. I mean, I was a single mom when Trenton was little. I was working mm-hmm. a lot and I was tired, but I also was mm-hmm. really committed to having some big connection with him at the end of my long workday. And I will always write in a card, no matter what is going on, you can read a storybook.
Yeah.
It requires little from you, and it is life-giving and relationship building.
One of our favorites, even Ben, has been My Lucky Day by Kiko Kazaa, and it's one of those from the Dolly Parton program.
Yep.
So a lot of people might have seen this.
I have seen it, but not read it.
Oh, we just love it so much. And whenever someone has an idea that we want to bring up with the family, we'll say, just a thought, Mr. Fox. That's something that's repeated over and over. It's such a clever book and such a clever ending. It's so funny. We just love that one. And I've got to say, what two others that I grabbed a lot in those days when I was really tired or when someone was upset, Jamberry by Bruce Deegan. This is one a lot of people know about too. But it's so, the poetry in it, the words, it's just so wonderful. And the pictures are just amazing. A child is not going to be crying by the end of it.
It is impossible.
Another one that people know, Caps for Sale.
Oh, 100%. And it's a good counting book.
Yes. And it's so fun to play this, to act it out.
Mm-hmm.
You read it and you tell them, go get the hats. Let's play. And tired or sick mama can still be in bed, but you've got this wonderful memory that you're sharing together.
Yes.
Okay, one more. One more like that. Millions of Cats by Wanda Gag. Also one that probably a lot of people know. Thousands of cats, millions of cats, billions and trillions of... Oh, I missed one. Hold on. Cats here, cats there, cats and kittens everywhere. Hundreds of cats, thousands of cats, millions and billions and trillions of cats.
And you know, anytime there's too much of something, kids are losing their mind laughing already. It doesn't matter what it is. There's too much of it. How silly is this?
I love it so much. And it's fun to read. It's fun to read. The language is great. So those are some of my first that I associate with that memory of someone, me or them, not being at their most or their best. But we cuddled around these books and then... it was better.
Yeah. So I'll shift for a little bit. I feel pretty strongly that a storybook is just a storybook and don't try to make too much of it. Because sometimes we try to put these adult ideas into a child's mind and they're just not ready for it. But on the other hand, a storybook is a great way to deal for children to deal with children's problems. So Leo the Lop... Do you agree, Amanda?
That looks familiar.
This is mine when I was a child. Leo the Lop asked the question, what is normal? And it is when you look at your body and you notice that you might be different than your friend. Why do Leo's ears hang down longer? They're supposed to go up. Don't rabbits' ears go up? And he does all these things to try to make his ears go up. And the possum keeps coming along saying, what are you doing? Because you're doing a weird thing, you know? And he's like, oh, I'm trying to be normal. And the possum says, what is normal? And it is a great, God made you the way you are. Your body is beautiful and it is a workmanship. And it doesn't say God made it, but like that is my opportunity then as a parent to say, I love the way God made your body and your face and your nose and your teeth. And
oh, that's so sweet. And the illustration on the front cover is beautiful.
It is so sweet all through it. Look at this. Look at him. He's hanging upside down because he wants his ears to go up. But like it, the illustration is chipper and the bunny eyes have the sweetest little eyelashes, just like you think of a bunny doing, you know. It has to have good pictures for it to be a good storybook, you know.
I love the way you say storybook.
It is a storybook. Let me tell you a story.
Picture book. I love that synonym for picture book. That's sweet.
Mm-hmm. I love, love, love this. There's two newer ones, so I brought two older ones. This is Big Words for Little People, and it is by Jamie Lee Curtis, who is wonderful. Jamie Lee Curtis and Laura Cornell. So the words in the book are words like privacy or celebrate or cooperate, but she, or inappropriate. Like, well, what is inappropriate? Inappropriate is the word your mom picks if you want to watch a PG-13 movie, but you're six. Like, isn't that, it gives them good verbiage. And it also brings me to my next idea that storybooks are a great vocabulary builder for younger children. If the storybook is annoying to you, it may be that the vocabulary is just not there and there it's lost that interest to you and it's lost that building opportunity for your child.
Yeah. So I guess I have another little set here to show you. And you mentioned Chicka Chicka Boom Boom, but I would definitely put that in my previous category of books that I remember so fondly from that time.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some others that we also really love. Have you heard of Each Peach Pear Plum by Janet and Alan Ahlberg?
No.
Oh, my word. Okay, so the illustrations are great. They extend the story a little bit. But it is a rhyming. It's kind of like a nursery rhyme about nursery rhymes. And you're kind of in the land of nursery rhymes and you encounter the characters. And it... Each page will have a character like Bo Peep up the hill. I spy Jack and Jill. And then the next page would say Jack and Jill in the ditch. I spy the wicked witch. So each page connects with another and the pictures show that. And so when they're really little and they've heard these nursery rhymes, these Mother Goose stories, they love it. They're like, I know that. Mm-hmm. Oh, I know that one too. Oh, mm-hmm. I know that. And so it's really fun. Really fun. This was mentioned in one of our posts by a listener recently. And I thought, oh, right. I love that book. And the boys loved it. Freight Train by Donald Cruz. And this is another one people might know. Did you ever see this one?
Never saw it.
Oh, my goodness. It's fantastic. It takes you through a train and all the different cars and its colors. It's a really simple book. Mm-hmm. And the illustrations are really simple, but they're beautiful. All right. This is another Wanda Gag book. She did Millions of Cats. Oh, I love Millions of Cats. She also did the ABC Bunny. She's also the illustrator of these, and they are so beautiful. It's an ABC book, but I don't know. It's a little more lovely, I think, than a lot of the more modern ones that are out there, both in terms of the illustrations. She has these beautiful black and white pencil illustrations. Mm-hmm. And K is for kitten, catnip crazy. L for lizard, look how lazy. It's not the typical. Yeah, it's a little more to it. I love it. Of course, I can't do a picture book without mentioning Tommy DiPaolo and Strega Nona.
Strega Nona, you have to. It's so important. I mean, good lesson there. Very silly because it's too much of something.
Yeah, all right. And those are probably some of Ben's favorite picture books to read. Uh-huh. I would say that in My Lucky Day. Okay, this last one of this batch is very different. Okay, this is called CDB, and it's by William Steig, Steig. He wrote Sylvester and the Magic Pebble, which you might have heard of. So these are kind of like letter puzzles, and the very cover and title illustrate that. So it says it has the letter C, the letter D, the letter B, CDB. And there's a picture of a boy and a girl looking at a flower, and there's a bee hovering over it, and the boy is pointing at the bee. So he is saying, see the bee? But it is written just in letters, CDB.
Oh, so these, interesting.
These are word puzzles in
that's
a picture
so
book.
So good. Well, and that's a good one to sit and look at that a minute. Notice this and in cultivating attention span and wonder and thinking to the next level, but in an early age.
Yeah. And so this may not be for your three-year-old, or at least you could do it at a level for your three-year-old. But if they're a little bit older, they can really start to get these. Here's one more example. So the top of the page has these letters in numbers. D, N, S, 5, X. And there's a picture of a hen, and she's sitting with five eggs around her. So D, N, S, 5, X.
The hen has five eggs.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, my goodness. I'm a genius. I love it. I want that book now.
I know. You can borrow it. So It's really fun word puzzles.
What a good
and
brain
they
book.
Love it when they can figure it out because it's just the letters and it's maybe a little more accessible than other harder puzzles.
Well, my greatest trick for math later on is do the problem out loud. Do the problem out loud.
Yeah,
and so a word puzzle like that, you can't read it in your head maybe and get it, but you say it out loud and you get it. And it's teaching that skill early is that use all your senses if you're struggling to learn something.
Yeah.
I love it. Okay. I have another one here. This is one of my very favorite first books with Trenton. I think I've mentioned it here before,
yes.
Wild About Books. It was my very first Amazon password ever, Wild About Books. Because we loved this book so much. So I'm throwing it back 20 years to my first Amazon password when I got on and I ordered about 15 to 20 that books that had been library books when Amazon was only books. And they were hardback library edition books because I thought, I want to have these forever. I want to choose some good books that we're going to have forever. And then I threw this one in too, and it was unknown. Unknown, I say again, because I did not know what it would be to my family. And this book celebrates the love of reading. It's silly because it teaches animals to read. A librarian crashes her bookmobile into the zoo and then, gonna have to teach the animals how to read. But then it is a teaser to great books that they will read the rest of their life, some as older kids, some as adults. The otter could never go swimming without Harry Potter. And so it rhymes. Geckos needed stick to the wall books, you know, so it's very giraffes crave tall books while geckos only read stick to the wall books. So it's silly. It's a tease of future works they'll read. It's isn't it great and fun to read? Don't we all want to learn to do that? It's a, I would say a very, you could go over under, but five is kind of a perfect age for this book. And it is so great. Judy Sierra and Pictures by Mark Brown. And they have done tons of great books together. So another one that is a favorite for both my boys is The Growing Story, and it follows the lives, the young lives of a puppy, some chicks, and a little boy. And the little boy is very concerned that the chicks are up to my leg and the puppy is up to my knee. They're growing. Am I growing? Because we know puppies and chicks grow faster than little boys. And you mark all of these seasonal changes and like, well, and then the cherry blossoms were on the trees and then the wind started to get cold. There's all these different things that mark seasonal changes. And then the little boy notices that the things are growing and questions, is he? Well, you come full circle. And at the end of the book, it's cold again. And his mom gets out his warm woolen coat. And happy upon happy, it does not fit. He is growing too. So it is just the sweetest. And it's called The Growing Story.
Aww. That is cute.
Because you know, little kids just go, I don't know if I'm growing. Like, I don't see it happening. But we say, oh my goodness, I see it. It's happening.
Aww. That is really cute. That reminds me, Elizabeth, of one I was going to recommend. It's Alice Provensen and Martin Provensen, Provensen. They have several books, and we have two of them, Our Animal Friends at Maple Hill Farm.
I don't know them.
And the other is A Year at Maple Hill Farm. And it goes through all the seasons and all the things that happen at their farm. And Our Animal Friends at Maple Hill Farm zoom in on all of the kinds of animals and the specific ones and their personalities and the silly things they do and their job on the farm. And they are beautiful, big, rectangular books. And the illustrations are just adorable. I love the illustrations in these books. Highly recommend these and these authors.
Okay. I have another that's modern. This Charlie found and brought to our family, and he and Nate read these two, and there's actually a third that we don't have. So first, I think we got What Do You Do With an Idea, and then we got What Do You Do With a Problem. And there is a third, What Do You Do With a Question? And the tone and theme of these books are a little bit of struggle and confusion and how to sit with that and how to protect your idea, because maybe your idea is a seed in your mind and not big enough for you to explain it. So when you try, someone says, well, that's no good. But as you think about it more, you know how to better say what it is and you know more what it should be. So maybe don't write it off right away if someone says that's no good. You have to protect your idea until it's ready. And you have to grow your idea. And the same idea with a problem of sticking with it. And I will say Charlie read these every night to Nate for a good while. And I probably just need to get him What Do You Do With a Question for Father's Day. Because it was, you know, when you have something in you and you think, this is hard that I'm going through, and you want to shore your children up for it, for that one that comes to their life. You know, having an idea that someone doesn't understand, having a problem that you don't quite know what to do with yet, having a question that you can't answer. Those are life experiences for the big and small both. But it is okay to sit in that. And here's a sweet little story. But look at the illustrations. I'm going to wish so badly that we were doing this one, producing video of it too. Because how do you do storybooks without the pictures? I'm going to describe here that the illustration is stormy. It is black and white and purpley gray. And then some pages are kind of brown, but you know, a problem is a hard place to be, and your brain might feel a little stormy when you're in a problem. And so look at this big storm here.
Oh, wow.
The illustrations are really beautiful, and they do show the feeling that you have when you have, this is the best. This is the What Do You Do With a Problem? You get through all this storm, and on one page, there's a little boy with resolve, and it said, I realized that I had to face it. And then he starts to feel brave. I have to tell you, the power of storybooks is that I have a little one sneaking up quietly because he knows his mama's podcasting to snatch one of these that I have been talking about because you cannot resist. He knows he has to be quiet, so he's crept up so slowly to slip one out of my pile.
Oh my goodness, that's awesome.
If that does not sell my point, I don't know what does.
Oh, I love that so much.
Here is an old one, and we call this in our house my first chapter book, but it is a storybook that is a long storybook, and it breaks it into sections. Fire Cat, the Fire Cat. Everyone knows the Fire Cat, I feel like. Do you not?
No, I've never seen this.
It is by Esther Averill, and it is part of the I Can Read series picture books. Okay. So it is a big size storybook, which always feels nice and good. It says ages 3 to 8, but it's about Pickles the cat. And at the beginning, Pickles the cat is an alley cat, and he fights all the other cats, and he lives in a barrel. And he doesn't necessarily want to be anything bigger than that. But Mrs. Goodkind, isn't that sweet? Her name is Mrs. Goodkind, sees him and says, "You know, you have very big paws. And I think that means that you're supposed to do great things." And she encourages him to be more. And so this story is about Pickles meeting a friend who sees more in him, though he is not showing any more right now in his life. And then he starts to believe, maybe I could be more. You know, I do have big paws. I could be more. And he becomes the Fire Cat. And he suddenly wants to try for the first time in his life to be more. But it's a sweet little story about a cat stuck in a tree and living in a barrel. But it breaks it up. The words are really big and spaced apart. Yeah. It's excellent for a first reader. And if you're trying to build in a little bit of, what is it called? I can read for longer. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
So it almost structures it like a hybrid chapter book storybook. I mean,
yeah,
it's not a chapter book, but we call this in our house the first chapter book.
Oh, that's really neat. You know, we need to do an episode with that phase of reading, like beginning chapter books or just that time.
I mean, certainly this is just a storybook, but it's also that idea of I see more in you and I know you can do more. And Mrs. Goodkind, which bless her for name being good and kind.
And
the contrast of the cat that fights everybody. Fights all the other cats.
Oh my goodness. That's really sweet. My next recommendation is an author. And so that's kind of what I have left. I have several authors that maybe you haven't heard of. Maybe you have. But this one is Tasha Tudor. And speaking of wishing this were a video in particular, Tasha Tudor was the illustrator of her books as well. And she wrote, like, one of these was written in 1963, so she wrote around that time. But the illustrations are very much more turn of the century or even 1860s kind of looking. They are beautiful. They are sweet, gorgeous illustrations. She has Around the Year. Look at this. I have this old, old hardback that I found at a library sale. Around the Year. And it goes through a farm every month and what they do on the farm. Beautiful. She has One is One, as in the digit one is, and the word one spelled out. This one I also found at a library sale. Beautiful illustrations. Oh, I love it so much.
I love it.
14 is 14 mallard ducks swimming on a lake. 15 is 15 roses being made into a wreath. That kind of a book. Beginning numbers.
I love the early counting and ABC books.
Yes.
Are a really sweet phase in life for like little lap children.
Yes. And this is, speaking of that, here's her ABC book. A is for Annabelle, a doll's alphabet. So it's all about this girl's doll named Annabelle, and it goes through the alphabet. C is for the cloak we take out with care. It's like American Girl doll kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But again, the illustrations are more turn of the century. D is for the dresses we want her to wear. Last one, seasons of delight. And I have a pop-up book of this. A year on an old-fashioned farm. So it's very similar to around the year, but it's different. And there is so much to look at. There's parts that move. I highly recommend this one. All right, Tasha Tudor, love, love, love her. I have another author illustrator, but it's a duo, Margaret Hodges and the illustrator Trina Shart Hyman. These illustrations are gorgeous. Are this is The Kitchen Knight, A Tale of King Arthur. This is one of those King Arthur stories that we don't hear about as much, but there's a lot of virtue in these. This is the kind of picture book that has a lot of words on the pages.
Mm-hmm.
This one features Sir Lancelot and Gareth of Orkney. They have another one, St. George and the Dragon, which is a story from The Fairy King, which that's like a bucket list of, like a book bucket list for me. Edmund Spenser's The Fairy Queen. Have you heard of St. George and the Dragon?
No.
Like, it's the kind of thing that all of the kids in Britain know the story kind of thing. Look at that. Isn't that gorgeous?
And
the dragon.
Me, I look at this illustrator and I think an idea that I have that storybooks are not for under five. Storybooks are on through 12, on through maybe 15. Who knows? Oh, you're a high school kid and you're still sometimes reading storybooks because they're just good. Like, those are intricate drawings that would interest an older child also.
And my boys, 14 and 12, would sit down with these today.
Yeah.
You know, if they're in the mood for it. And this also reminds me of, there's a great trilogy about Gilgamesh, a picture book trilogy, which is in the same vein. There's a lot more words on the page.
Oh,
the drawings are very real to life and gorgeous. Yeah. And so this last one is Snow White by the Brothers Grimm. This is by Paul Hines, but the same illustrator, Trina Shart Hyman. So it has the same look.
Mm-hmm.
It's very atmospheric.
Mm-hmm.
Pictures. They might be a little scary for really little people or sensitive people, but they are gorgeous, gorgeous, and very appropriate for children. Don't mean to give the impression that it's not, but.
But a little scary is okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we had some nightmares over Monsters Are Afraid of the Moon storybook. Which, you know, also, let's think about them a little bit and then know that we can overcome that. And
okay, I've got another author. You're just going to have to tell me when the episode is over, Elizabeth.
We'll probably cut it here, and I'm going to share my all-time favorite author because you and I could go forever on this subject.
We could. Okay, so I will do, instead of doing longer on this author, I will do really quick of two authors. Okay. All right. The first one is Virginia Lee Burton, and my second one is Lois Linsky. All right. Virginia Lee Burton had boys, and she wrote books for her boys. Now, Ruby also loves these too, but Josiah in particular, I asked them, what were some of your favorite picture books? And Josiah mentioned this one in particular, Calico the Wonder Horse or The Saga of Stewie Stinker. And these are classics. It's written a little bit in a comic book format, but it's not a comic book style. The illustrations are more in this golden age of children's literature of the 40s and 50s. She wrote Katie and the Big Snow, which is about a snow shovel machine, whatever those are. I don't know what that's called, being in Florida. Steamroller and other big machines like that. Mike Mulligan and the Steam Shovel. You may have heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Choo-choo, the story of a little engine who ran away.
Yep.
Maybelle, the cable car.
I know these books.
Of
course, the best. The best. The best one.
What I love about so many of her books is it shows great scope and perspective of how your town changes over time.
Yeah.
And there's something about her books that tap into memory and longing for the way things were that is
it just really touches me every time. And I cry every time I read one of these. Well, they're not all like that, but a lot of them are.
And if we stop and remember what it's like to be a child when literally the counter height doesn't even serve you. Everything is built for something else. And it is a confusing time of what is gone and what is coming. I don't know. And so when a book demonstrates that and shows this is what happens and it is okay and paints it in a lovely way, that's good. That's good for them.
Oh, love those. Yeah. And my last one real quick is Lois Linsky. You might know her for chapter books such as The Strawberry Girl. Mm-hmm. Well, she also wrote some for younger people that are picture books. And a couple of them are Policeman Small and Cowboy Small. And Policeman Small is a board book, and it is probably for the youngest. Policeman Small is a traffic cop. He tells the cars when to go and stop. And then you follow him through his day, and he gets a sandwich at lunch and all that. Cowboy Small, I'm going to show you what I love about these. The inside cover has a picture of his horse and all of the things he packs on his horse, and they're all labeled.
Oh, kids love a label list situation.
Yes!
Why? They do, though. It is a... It is very true. And they will sit and they'll stare at that and commit it to memory that this is who this is.
Yeah. And then the other side of this opening has Cowboy Small, and it shows all of his articles of clothing that he wears, and they're labeled.
Right, chap. So cute.
And then it's a very simple book when you get in it, but it is so lovely. We've also got the little airplane, the little train, and the little fire engine. And all of these books are like Cowboy Small in that it actually gives you a lot of information if you want to go there with it. Mm-hmm. But they are all so lovely and sweet.
Okay. Are you ready for my all-time favorite children's author, even though I haven't even mentioned him yet? Author?
I cannot wait.
Illustrator. Stephen Kellogg.
Oh, yes.
It's right in the middle where it's not contemporary anymore, but he's not old and classic. He's like a good 70s, 80s, you know. But I had a Great Dane, so I love all the Pinkerton books. And he wrote several about a Great Dane named Pinkerton, and they are so funny and silly. you know, that's Jimmy's Boa, and there's several different Jimmy's Boa books. And I think the tie is that his illustrations are silly, but also communicate a world. Like, your imagination is a real world. And look at all these people. You get to know these characters that appear in your imagination often. The fact that he can revisit that one character somehow seems different to me. And maybe all authors do that. But somehow it gives me that feel of like, I have stories in my head that I go back to. But there's a snippet enough of a real world event that is a fight with a friend. My parent won't let me have this pet. I made a bad choice in bringing my snake to school. There is a little tiny real world event that you think on throughout the book in a very Mr. Rogers tone. We have one tiny thing to think on here. And we made a beautiful story around that. And the writing and the pictures are beautiful. But he wrote so many books. And I will tell you, one of the happiest thrift store moments of my life is I have a signed Stephen Kellogg book that some black-hearted person got rid of and gave to the Goodwill.
Oh, wow.
I just can't imagine. But I will probably have to be buried with it. Just kidding. But what a happy thing for me to find that. And so there was a moment in time where I thought I would collect all the Stephen Kellogg books. And then I realized that is so many books. I'll have to have a shelf just for them. I used to loan them out, but someone did not return a penguin pup for Pinkerton. And I don't even know who. if you look on your shelf and you have it and you think I loaned it to you, you need to hightail it to Wesley Chapel right now. I'm just kidding. It's probably, hopefully you read it and you loved it and it became part of your family story and that's why you couldn't give it back. But I love Stephen Kellogg. He would probably have to be, though there's so many, he would probably have to just be my favorite. And he was introduced to me by my aunt, who introduced hundreds of stories to my brother and I when we were little. We got a big, beautiful picture book for Christmas every year, and it has her name and the date, and we fought over them when it was time to split them up for our home libraries. So, So Aunt Jane started us with Stephen Kellogg, and I had to continue him on in my family. I think we have to cut it here, or we'll be here till next week.
We do. Yep. Yeah, so, we got to stop it sometime.
I anticipate the thread for this to be huge. So the big request that I want to make is that because we felt this longing of wishing that you could see covers as we were talking about these books, when you bring us your books and bring them to us, my children are still, well, Nate for sure is still reading picture books. We are reading them together and he's reading them on his own. Same with Amanda's kids. I want to see a picture of it. If you have to do the Amazon page of it, that's fine. Or if you want to show me the one in your house, great. But I want to see the covers when you tell me about a book you love.
Yes. And I will also post some of these books that have just the gorgeous illustrations so you can see too. And listeners, if you want to put a video up in the post of you or one of your children reading one of their favorites, that would be the best.
Oh, it would be the best.
Well, thank you for listening and cannot wait to see all of your recommendations come rolling through. So for Tricia, I'm Amanda.
I'm Elizabeth.
And happy picture book reading.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, subscribe to Book Fair Podcast.
Join our private Facebook group. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram or email us at chat@bookfairpodcast.com.
And you can help us continue to grow. Share an episode with a friend, mention us on social media, and leave a review in your podcast app. We'll see you next Tuesday.